Oh, audience of the age. Oh, teammates, yes, it is I reporting in from Ataturk's Summer Palace, this fantastic hotel, the Limark Hotel, built on top of hot, bubbling springs, which are in our bathrooms and in a large pool. There we go. And it is the final days of Ramadan. We will hear in the gloaming light and the fullness of our gathering. Whoa. So, yes, well, becoming artists of atmosphere, nothing more beautifully important than that right now, as we will honor Jupiter in the sky, soon visible, rising in the east, presiding over the nighttime sky. I'm ahead of you in the future, but we're together telepathically. There we go. And Venus setting in the west. And Jupiter, again, the power of all stories, as we remember, remembering Jupiter retrograde in Scorpio, we are remembering all traditions, all the chapters of our lives, all the chapters of our individual lives, and also collective life and journeying. So, yes, the Neptunian realms of influence. Whoa. Remember that the memosphere, a word I coined, but we can all use, which we might call Alam al-Mithral, the esoteric Islamic phrase for that, the realm of collective group mind, where images incubate, eager to be invited into the world. Whoa, there we go. So yes, we want to move images from our mind into the world. We remember the Kabbalistic practice of each night forming a desirable image for ourselves and the world, right? And each night adding texture to it, color, sound, light, smells, fragrance, everything. Again, this incarnational sensuality to the thing. And then the Kabbalists say to do this great experiment, which is normally when we close our eyes and see an image, we tend to see it in our prefrontal cortex up here. But the Kabbalists say the rear portion of our brain, the occipital, right, that curvy spot, is the entrance and exit, well, the exit portal. Let's say that for simple reasons now, where images move from our brain or the Alam al-Mithral, yeah, that out into the world of incarnational actuality. So this is a really great practice that we want to deepen our dedication to right now, which is to have the desirable image, to imagine it, moving it to the back of our heads and out there into the world. A wonderful ally in a previous trickster council said that she didn't really like doing it at sleep, but she loved doing it when she was jogging or walking. Contrails, imaginative contrails pouring out the back of her hair, conjuring contrails. And we go, yeah, autonomy is a sacrament, absolutely. Anything we want to do. Sleeping good, reverie, trance. Trance is so available. And it's everything real, everything symbolic. That's part of our dynamic. So I am here studying with beautiful Sufi, authentic Sufi dancer Banafshe, who is, again, we're all heretics. We're all heretics. It means free thinker. That's right. So she's a heretic because she says there's the Sufi dancing, which is spinning, which we're learning, which is very serious and traditional. Bit tedious. Okay. And then there's the belly dancing, right? Okay. And she's right in between. Again, we're tracking everything back to its originating impulse. What did this want to be? The yearning of Middle Eastern dancing is magic. It's a kind of aspirational yearning, which is the essence in so many beautiful musical traditions, and certainly also in Islam, like esoteric Islam, where it's like, oh, and calling it in as though the texture of the air becomes tangibly fluid and calling it in. So she's great that way. And I am contributing astro mythology to the dynamic. It's a really good collaboration. It augurs well for more. But the simple props that I have, look, my fantastic whirling slippers, right? She said to bring slippers for whirling, which we're learning, which is so great, which is such a Jupiter-Neptune thing. You keep one foot stationary, or the Sufis begin by training by putting a nail in the wood, and they hook it between their big toe and their next toe, and they spin around that, right? The heel moves, but the toes don't move, except they're anchored there. And the other foot, the right foot, is the pusher off. And she said, whirling slippers are good. I go, oh, all right. And then perfectly in Istanbul, in the souk, I go, oh, look, perfect little whirling slippers. Oh, they're great. And they've had their first whirl. They're very happy. They're very happy. Yeah, because again, we're in an animistic realm. We are here. The enormity of the evolution that wants to happen now in the human species. We will explore this because, everywhere against all odds. Anyway, so wonderful little Turkish slippers. And then just for the fun of it, my Turkish coffee I just had, right? And with the divination and look, you take the coffee, you drink the coffee, you put the cup, on the saucer, you fold it towards your heart and then you let it drip. And look, it made a Turkish flag. How witty of the coffee. And then the top is mysterious and fun. Oh, just it's well, it made another crescent moon. It made an image really of the new moon, which is what's coming up. It's coming up on June 13th, June 12th, late at night here in Turkey. June 13th for those in the Western realm. This new moon, all important in Gemini. And I think part of our metaphoric agility to wish, to yearn, to call in, and to spiral forth out into the world, this new moon in Gemini at 22 plus Gemini, its image is three fledglings in a nest. So for all of us to imagine and move out into the world, three communicative projects doesn't need to be written or whatever. Remember, Gemini is our voice, our hands, our arms, three projects in which we would love to give expression to something. In our small councils, which we will be just trusting you're all going to carry on wonderfully with me telepathically present. So in the three councils, think of, what is a language that one would love to speak, understand, and give voice to. And it doesn't need to be, nothing needs to be strictly human. Right, the language of the wind, the language of storms, the language of the frogs. We're surrounded by many, many, many little tiny adorable frogs. Hello, brother. Hello, sister. We want to restore the greeting of everything. This is the huge experimental restoration of conscious animism, conscious kinship, biomimicry, humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius. And so this new moon gives us many things. It's the dark of the moon, the dark of the moon, when people would gather to determine the course of culture. And into this dark of moon cauldron, we throw things. Oh, there we go, and ladle them out as well. So I love the divination. Everything speaking to us by its shape and its color and its song and its rhythm and its coffee grounds. And if we humans, merely approach the world with well-wishing and informed curiosity, hello, hello, and greeting, tell me your story. We humans would be in much better shape. It's against all odds. We really want to do that. Because last night here, well, everywhere, was what's called in Islam the night of power. The night of power. It's a traditionally, many things, but it's when, the Quran is delivered. Yeah, okay. It's when angels descend. Muhammad said it's one night that is worth 3 months of activity. But we're going to extend it all the way to the new moon, which times the ending of Ramadan after the new moon crescent reappears. All of this time, particularly great to throw things in and ladle things out. And I go, all right, so I have dancing slippers. It's also we're always learning. So the refinement, we had our mudra, right, which is the banish fear mudra. It's also the pharaonic mudra. And it's also the Wakanda forever salute, right? But in Sufism, again, the way Banafsheh teaches it, it's not closed fists, it's open, right? So we fold our left open palm over our shoulder and our right palm over our left shoulder. And this is how you begin reverence. You begin the spinning. And then as you spin around and around, eyes soft focus in a reverie or a trance, we are so much exploring all the available ways of moving into trance, into reverie. Remembering that this is a way also which allowed for communication between worlds and between species. And so the folding of the arms, Right. Beautiful. It feels great. Let's do it all now. Ah. And then as one begins to spin, to whirl counterclockwise, you one hand is up to receive. However we want to address that, right? Woof, as grace, the divine, whatever. And one hand is down, and that's how one spins around, inviting and distributing, inviting and distributing. It's the whole quality of blessing that we've been working with so much, which is, well-wishing and receiving, receiving and sending, receiving and sending, whether it's the magician and the tarot cards, or, I mean, just everything. All the teachings that ever were or will be are here now, eager to be unlocked and also liberated from their too singularly human emphasis. Ah, there we go. So it is like the Egyptian posture, except open. And this reminds us of our own, everything is suggestive and speaking to us. That in the 1960s we had the power fist, right? And that's making kind of a comeback sort of thing. And that's good. That's kind of woofy arousal, like rah, rah, woof, woof. But then we want to turn it into the open palm of blessing. Wah! May it go well for you. May it go well for you. Another crucial thing that our bodies know, our minds know, our psyches know, is that trembling, is a great thing that animals know. Again, humbly cooperating with nature, humans, just sucking the hubris, out of, sucking the hubris out of humans, throwing hubris into the cauldron, ladling out many things, a humble willingness to cooperate. There we go. So the shaking is important. As many of our team knows, shaking is what animals do. If an antelope is lucky enough to escape from a lion, then it trembles all over to metabolize the fear and the adrenaline, to metabolize the fear and the adrenaline. And then it goes back to just eating. Nom, 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 nom. So animals don't store trauma is one thought. We have many thoughts. We go, oh, the rescue dogs and the thing, but that's an ongoing trauma. Once the trauma is over, the shaking and the metabolizing, and we wish this for all beings, all humans, all bees, all plants, all everybody, just shaking the thing. That's a wonderful thing. And then part of the beauty also of we're all in this dream together. We're all in this dream together. I'm the Caroline Casey part of you. You're the teammates, ally, fellow aspiring tricksters part of me. We're all in this dream together. There we go. Part of the beauty that we're also composting, it's the skillfulness and the dedication that does not need performance. Ah, so we're just conversing, con with verse turning. This is not a performance. Whoa, that's good. We get rid of that. This is a conversation. Yes, team. Yes, jolly. We're journeying together. It's also like everything. Again, everything is telling us its story. So behind at home, my black cat Chihiro, who wanted to kill the Egyptian kittens at first, just she would fly at them with a just death cry like ah, and terrorize them and everything, and we were working it out slowly, but then she got quite ill, and we're doing all kinds of good things, blood ozone therapy, cannabis medicine, she's doing pretty good, there we go. Okay. But at a certain point she was like, I can't afford hatred. I can't afford hatred. It's an extravagance. And we say, yes, even the idea of enemy is an extravagance we can ill afford. It's an energy leak or an energy drain. I used to often, and I'm going to bring it back to situations so dire we can't afford the luxury of realism. And I said that once to a seatmate who worked for Homeland Security some years back, and she said, oh, you have no idea how true that is. And we go, oh, okay. So energy expenditure, distractions we can ill afford. Enmity, hatred, the idea of an enemy, into the cauldron, into the cauldron. And as we journey along together, this call and in perpetuity in some form, think of things we want to toss into the cauldron and ladle out. always, it's a perma metaphor. It's always useful, but some things are always true, and there are times when they are truer. So right now, dark of moon, the night of power behind us. And we did go at our Durga, where we go to dance every day. And the sheikh who founded it came to preside, and many, many people from all over came to this night of power, and it was pretty adorable. And he was pretty jolly. He's, you know, I'll send pictures, you know, and he's 94 and still kind of very kick butt and extremely likable. And his patient wife was sitting there as he made jokes about his mistresses and things, and we go, okay, all right. His wife's clearly at least 30 years older. They're younger. We go, all righty, because remember, we're throwing everything into the cauldron, all teachings, all everything, going, does it guide people to their own autonomy and their own autonomous relationship to vast, beautiful mystery? Is it equal Mars and Venus, men and women? Can the truth be said without cringing, you know, or aspiration towards the truth be said without cringing? Is trickster welcome? Yes, we ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. And this, again, is so crucial to us now. So the sheikh was very jolly, you know, everybody very adoring and everything. And two of us made some useful trouble, which the sheikh liked. So, you know, and he was going on about, you know, humans are the most important thing and everything. And so one of our teammates said, oh, excuse me, but what about the beautiful creation of the stars and the planets? Why are humans special? And he said, it makes me kind of angry, that question. And he sort of went on in Turkish and English in a way that was like, And then he said, I think, therefore I am. And part of me is like, good grief, he's quoting Descartes. And I said, no, I don't think so. He's like, no. And I go, no. He goes, why? And I go, way too small. And he goes, oh, good point. Way too small. I said, maybe it might help if you switched it. You know, I am, therefore I think. I am, therefore I feel. I am, therefore I dream. But even that is too small. And he was woof woof wanna play. He was like, okay, oh. All right, good point, you know, moving on. Anyway, so remember, you know, in all the myths and the Inanna myth and everything, you know, where Enki, the god of wisdom, has become a tyrant, hip of the Sumerians to remind us that anyone, anything, unchallenged will become tyrannical. There we go. So we were doing him kind of a good service, and he liked it. Remember, part of the problem about spiritual teachers that people approach is they get very lonely. Nobody gives them a hard time in a trickster, playful, woof-woof way. So it stifles everyone's evolution. So we're here to be challenging, not in a harumphy way. It was very jolly last night, and he liked it. Again, we are aspiring to move our emotional default setting to woof-woof, want to play. And if somebody doesn't, that's fine, because then it wasn't really playful. It wasn't really an offering. And if they do, woof woof. So he did. The sheikh kind of did. But then I went back to my hotel room, fabulous hotel room. It's all fantastic. About midnight, 1 a.m. kind of thing. People kept going, dancing and whatnot. But I go, no, it is the night of power. And all of these metaphors from all of these different traditions are available and eager for liberating and animating. So it's like when I climbed Mount Sinai with the help of the camel, Michael Jackson, and I go, no, without presuming, without hubris, it's like, I'm not going to bring down rules, for God's sake, Moses. I'm going to bring down guidelines. And in the sense of the night of power, don't presume. It's very holy, many things, you know, but not, you know, Quran, great. But also, what else can we bring down? And if, because I also asked the sheikh last night, well, you know, he was like, questions, I need questions. And I go, well, what is the opportunity of this night? And he's like, ah, well, to remember that humans are the most important thing. And I go, well, what about the angels? And he's like, oh, right, yeah, angels. Yeah, angels, I like my angels with animal heads and frog feet and flowers and everything, you know. And so that's where we're, you know, we're heretical. There we go. That's really, really wonderful. But we say all, you know, all natural facts are metaphoric guidance, and everything real, everything symbolic. So in this part of the world, which I feel such aesthetic resonance with, the Middle East and the realm of Turkey, and you know, and then there's the Turkish-Syrian border. May we wish it well. May we wish it well. But I did run into an interesting Turkish man last night who I spoke to him about Göbeklitepe. He goes, "Oh yes, I know it well. It's right on the border near the town of Urfa. And I know friends who'd wanted to go there, and I told them the common thought is it's too dangerous. It's right near the Syrian border." And he said, "No, no. Anywhere is dangerous or not dangerous according to our thinking." And I go, "That's great. Okay, I'm with you on that." And he goes, "No, you know, you can go to Göbeklitepe, which is the oldest, you know, Kadıköy, I'm pronouncing it wrongly, was thought of as the oldest human civilization structure. And now Göbeklitepe has been discovered, and it's even older, again, with the great museum at Urfa. And this man, the videographer, had made a film on the town of Urfa for it. And I go, "Ooh, good." You know, we were eating our post-Ramadan dinner, and how wonderful to connect. There we go. And I will be conversing more with him and talking about, future trips, because this is such a rich story land. Oh, my goodness. You know, we're too far away for this journey to afterwards go to Ephesus and to Pergamon. But may Ephesus and Pergamon come to us by the imaginative naming and the Alam al-Mithral, and you know, all the ways we're playing loosely and particularly with things. So Pergamon, yeah, I want to go to Göbeklitepe. let me just stay there for a moment and come back to Pergamon. Remind me. So Göbeklitepe is the most ancient site in world. Okay. It goes way, way back, and it was discovered there were just fantastic carvings of animals and plants by a nomadic people. And archaeologists think that, clearly this, the Syrian, the modern Syrian Turkish border was the Garden of Eden, because there's fruit and everything and abundance of game and animals and just fantastic stuff. Then, several thousands or millennia pass, and what the archaeologists feel is then agriculture happens from hunter-gatherer. And this is something we want to examine in our wondering, because it's thought also that agriculture, you know, emerged from Turkey and went out into Europe from here, where we are, the once Garden of Eden. And yes, that's good. So what archaeologists, some say, these are all stories, you know, grounded stories, is that once agriculture came in, so did human sacrifice for some quirky reason. And then some millennia pass, and whoever was there buried the whole thing. They buried it, you know, with markers saying this was a terrible direction for humans to go in. This was terrible. We left the Garden of Eden. You know, we created agriculture. And then we started human sacrifice, this superstitious cruelty, right? This is very important to us all now. You know, rather than address larger issues in the world, the uninitiated Mars says, let's just do human sacrifice, you know, in the form of war or grumpiness and the thing. Well, this is all pertinent. Hello, plane. Okay, it's all incredibly pertinent. So Göbeklitepe is intriguing that way, and it's the work that we've referenced before of rewilding. This is part of our assignment of this renaissance of reverent ingenuity that is unfolding and beckoning before us. Rewilding. You know, the West Jackson work in the Midwest of America, of restoring annuals to be perennials, giving everything back its autonomy, going back into the original collaborative dynamic, the guiding story of reciprocal blessing and tending and caretaking, and that each encounter with a plant or an animal be one of reciprocal blessing and mutual benefit, mutual aid. There we go. So there's Göbeklitepe over there, you know, surfacing now. Jupiter retrograde says, again, everything surfacing from our historic human past and from our individual past as well, things rising up, there we go, to either redress, release, or welcome these parts of us gliding into place. Pergamon. All right, it's close, but not close enough for me to get to. One, it would require a long trip to Izmir. I love the names. And then north to Pergamon, where one trickster council teammate said that he was several years ago, and they still keep the dream incubation rituals going, where one is chanted down into the dream incubation chamber. Don't know, but if it's not true, let's make it true. And it's true for us, because let's remember the Chiron dynamic. Chiron, wounded healer, boring part. The mentor, good part. The founder of the School for Future Cultural Heroes, yes, yes, we like that. You know, in a myth or a dream, we get to be all the characters. We're Chiron, we're Chiron students, you know, all of us rotating around. So we love the mentoring, and remember that his students' tasks are impossible, and they are always successful after they study with Chiron. And we're all doing that in a sense in our reverie minds, in our what happens to us synchronously during the day. And then Chiron, for our purposes, especially right now, you know, journeys, and goes throughout the ancient world and founds the Asclepions, these cultural centers of intentional dreaming, healing, and theater. We've spoken of them before, but here they are, eager to be animated again. And it was a wheel and deal kind of a thing too, which is people would go drink rhodiola root tea, maybe Turkish coffee, and then use it as a divination tool as well. I just, you know, can't help myself. It's just so charming. So yes, and here's the new moon again, just because it wanted to make an appearance. There we go. Everything speaking to us. So, and then they would intend Saturn to have a healing dream, Neptune, sometimes Asclepius, Chiron's student, would appear in a dream. And then the deal part is they knew that they would only have the power of the dream if they gave it creative expression. This is part of our dynamic team. They write a poem, participate in a play, dance it, dance the dream. And having done that, they would have the power of their dream and they'd go back to their communities as seed Renaissance people. So that all really happened, right? And might still be kind of happening. But Pergamon in Turkey now was one of the main Asclepion sites. And so we wave to it. We go, come on in. Come on into our bedrooms. Come on into wherever we'd be sleeping. Because Jupiter Neptune says we have access to everywhere when we enter into trance, when we enter into mythological journeying, when we enter into welcoming, going, okay, Asclepions, come on in. The Asclepions want to be invited back into the world. And they don't have to look like what they look like, always near a spring and whatnot. But they could look like, you know, us now. Sure. Again, without hubris, without deriving status, without performance. There we go. Come on in. Whatever we need, whatever we humans need. Come on in. So there's Pergamon over there. Yeah, it's south. East there, southwest. Okay, it's behind me. There it is. It's high tree. Okay, behind me. So we do love that. And you know, and I do want to bring up again the wonderful teachings from quite close to the Turkey-Syrian border when I went to Aleppo, oldest souk in the world. May it be restored again. Mashallah. May the divine protect it, and encountered the scowling fundamentalist black-bearded mullah who was not happy to see my Syrian friend, or Deborah living in Syria, and another woman, three Western women. It's a tale that bears retelling, right? Just bear with me there, or chant along, right? So then my friend Deborah, speaking beautiful Arabic, introduced me to him as an astrologer, and he bowed in respect. And I asked Deborah, I go, what's this? The scowling, bearded, grumpy, fundamentalist, Islamic cleric calligrapher bowed in respect to the purple-haired astrologer. And she said, that's because it means something here. I go, wow. now we were in a different game. And he did this beautiful, beautiful thing. I will mimic it. He wrote in with vegetable ink, blessings, magical words from the Quran, beautiful words, with vegetable ink on rice paper, and then he put it in our tea so we could drink the words. This is a practice. This is a practice we want to do, to write beautiful words, you know, with lemon juice or whatever's at hand, something non-toxic, you know, and put it on rice paper or hemp paper or something that's, again, that not toxic, you know, and then put it in our tea so we are drinking the words. Oh, I so love that. I found it in other traditions, this drinking the words. I don't know if it's called that. I call it that. But we go, right, literalized mythology. And it's so perfect because our brains are symbolic and mythological. They work that way. And it's like, oh, right, that's really good. It's even, you know, I was a smidge under the weather this morning because I misheard, you know, somebody saying, well, everything here and at the Durga, it's all spring water. And I go, that's great. I assumed they meant the tap water too. So I filled my bottle with tap water, and possibly that was not the right thing to do. But I speak to the little Turkish bacteria going, oh, thank you. That's been an exciting ride that we had together. Thank you very much. Again, you know, everything's a brother, sister. Everything's a brother, sister. Thank you, bacteria. And we've had a great time, and you've purged me out of everything I came with. That was wonderful. And now I think our work is done. That was really great, but I have a little bit of turkey in me. That was really good. So there's that. Okay, so let us turn to the chart briefly for the fun of it. All right, here we go. Here's the chart. I will pull it. Oops, no, don't do that. Okay, I'll pull it over here. We're almost there. Thank you, team, for your forbearance and experimental whimsy and increasing flexibility. It's all wonderful. There we go. Okay, so for the fun of it. Okay, so let's dive into this chart of now. It is 8 p.m. where I am in Turkey, as we convened, 1 p.m. on the East Coast of America. So here we are. We get to be convening, you know, wherever everybody is, and also in Yalova, Turkey. Ancient land, Karahelik, Göbektepe, Pergamon, Ephesus, everything good wants to rise up and to be invited in a fresh, unique way through each one of us. So we are at the dark of the moon. Very important. The night of power behind us. Let's keep animating that. What do we want to invite in? Well, let's go for that. As in liberating everything in a reverently irreverent way. That's part of our dynamic as fellow aspiring tricksters. That's really great. So we can see, remember, in a chart, this is the earth. This is me in Gusadere, a little village outside Yalova, Turkey, with hot springs at Ataturk's summer palace. He was a pretty good guy. He was a pretty okay guy, as far as I can tell. History's complex. But again, the secularization and the liberating of Turkey, now under threat, as many things are. Until now, we use the power of language. So the moon at the oasis degree, you know, is coming up behind the sun. So this is the earth. Here's me, the me part of you. This is the east. 15 Sagittarius rising, which is a great degree. It's life as an exhilarating adventure, you know, to have stories, come hell or high water. Here we go. Thank you. The descendant, pretty great. 15 plus Gemini is woman within all of us, regardless of our extremely temporary age, race, and gender assignment. Woman gives rousing speech on behalf of the earth. And we go, that's great. Thank you. Thank you, everything. Thank you, brother. Communicating and addressing everything as a brother. There's a great Sufi story, again, well, many great Sufi stories, just to bring them up, you know. There's the smart-ass Sufi story. Okay, let me just come back to being a human with everybody. There's the wonderful smart-ass of Sufi teaching of a man walking down a street. Oh, I'm flickering. Well, we're in a transitional, transactional communication realm here. The gloaming dusk light. So, man walking down the street sees a rock. On the rock is painted, it says, well, here's a rock, and it says, turn me over. So he turns it over, and on the other side it says, Why do you seek more knowledge when you do not use that which you already have? Smart ass Sufi rock. All right. But also in the fabulous collection of stories, Caravan of Dreams by Idris Shah, that I took. Oh, here we are. Whoa. Okay, it's there. We are. That's good. It's the you can probably hear it. It's the end of the Ramadan day, which I've been sort of doing Ramadan light, just with the help of the Turkish bacteria, just a Turkish coffee and a glass of juice, and soon there will be dinner and feasting. But let me play with this. I think you can hear it. I have always loved the call to prayer, even as a little girl in Washington, D.C., with no reason for it, because it's full of yearning. So there's the call to prayer at sunset, behind me, behind us. How wonderful. Thank you, call to prayer. So I will honor it in the background. So in the story, Encounter at a Hermitage, you know, a man is seeking a great sheikh for deep learning, and he travels far, and he sees finally a little wisp of smoke in the distance, and he goes, ah, perhaps the sheikh. And he approaches, and he sees a humble man in the garden who greets him, hello, brother. And he says to himself, he was affronted that a humble gardener addressed him as an equal. And he said to the humble gardener, Are you the gardener? I am called that, said the man. I am looking for the great sheikh. I am called that also, said the man. And I was cast up again that somebody so great had addressed me as brother. When a little dog walks by, this is very important, and the sheikh says, hello, brother, to the little dog. And the narrator says, oh, I was cast down again that, you know, I would be addressed as an equal for a dog. Yeah. And then they talk, and the man says he wants great teachings, and the sheikh says, you are seeking great teachings, but are you acceptable to the teachings? A puff of smoke against the sky, the heart grows glad. A kind word to a little dog, the heart grows sad. You are not ready for this teaching of equal liberation. Be gone with you. Anyway, it's a great story. So I'm just checking my coordinates. Yes, okay. So back to our chart here. There we go. Alrighty. Thank you, everybody. Okay, so back to our chart. Yes, I think that's right. Yeah. So much is before us. So much is before us. And yes, we cultivate. Well, I'm reading the text, the outer Saturn. What did I promise to say? Oh, never mind all that. We're just riding along together. But yeah, some crucial themes that are like sourdough starter that I carry with me everywhere. Okay, so dark of moon, the moon's coming up behind the sun. It will be a new moon in Gemini for all of us to think about what do we want to give voice to. We also remember the great moment in the first Mary Poppins book, not the horrible movie, where Mary is taking care of the twins, babies. And they understand the language of the wind and the birds and the frogs. I don't know if you can hear all the birds. It's very lively here at twilight. Everything is singing the call to prayer, right? Everything is singing the call to prayer. And it's really the human call to prayer, I think, is just aspiring to approach the beauty of the birds and the tree frogs and the everybody. So, yes, wherever I was, I distracted myself from the wonderful, oh, Mary Poppins, thank you. Thank you, telepathic team. So the twin babies understand the language of everything. And Mary Poppins, a shamaness or some better word, definitely, well, a serious trickster. She says to the babies, you know, you're gonna forget. You're going to forget the language of the birds and the squirrels and the animals and the rocks and the plants. And they're like, no, 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 no. You know, teach us how not to. And she goes, no, you're going to forget. But there are ways of remembering. And then there's this very powerful moment in the book later where the babies forget. And they're all alone. And it's everything's a microcosm and a macrocosm. When did we forget the language of the birds and the plants and the animals? When were we modern humans so alone, you know, so lonely, so linguistically cut off from everything? But as Mary Poppins says, there are ways back to remember. We go, all right, team, by the power of this dark of moon into new moon, by the power of the night of power, we use all metaphors behind us, by the power of our own dedication and our own wondering about the journey of our lives, let's remember. And that's why in the small councils to go, what language would you like to speak? I mean, I know in a lazy Libran way that I'd go, oh, I'd love to know Arabic, but I don't know if I'm willing to study that. Anyway, but what language of plants? I think for our slightly more realistic purposes in a way, or imaginable to us purposes, you know, we would say, what language of wind, of plant, of animal, you know, dog, fox, coyote, ocean, what language would we like to be in a call and response with? This is part of this beautiful, powerful dark of moon. And so right now, can't see it quite yet in the gloaming out there in the world. But Jupiter is rising in the east. It's over there. There it is. There we go. The sun, Mercury, and soon Venus setting in the west. Very, very exciting. So it leads us again, what is the visible beauty of now? And part of our dynamic. So I've always, well, as far as I can remember in recent life biography, you know, been about, you know, becoming artists of atmosphere, that how do we spiral into collective group mind at this time of dire beauty, expanded repertoire of responses and ingenuity. There we go. But this is so now. It is so now. Jupiter rising in the east. It trines Neptune. Okay, Jupiter and Neptune, the two what's called rulers of Pisces. Neptune's in Pisces. We go, that's really great. Jupiter and Neptune are trining each other. It makes for all stories, all metaphors, all images available for fresh animation. And how did I get over here from talking about Gemini? Well, I can justify almost anything here. And let me try. All right. So this new moon, the moon coming up to square Neptune, sun pretty much, you know, within 5 degrees of squaring Neptune. A square, a 90-degree angle, it's an assignment for us to get illusorily estranged principles to dance together in us and in the world. There we go. So Gemini, mind, voice, intellect, thinking, expressiveness, hands, right? Re-wedded to mystery, the element mithral. We use our hands, like in Middle Eastern dance, to invite in, like, whoa, come on in. Wana. You know, and again, the modern world has said, no, you can either be spacey and imaginative and be involved in, you know, symbolic languages like astrology and myth and fairy tales, you know, or you can be a smarty pants. We go, no. This was a terrible part of our human journey in which, like the babies in Mary Poppins, we forgot. Intellect, voice, you know, conversational, you know, and Neptune dreams vision. They love each other. They want back together. We've spoken often about how cultures embedded their knowledge symbolically in myths and fairy tales to pass on, the Inanna myth, Tale of Rapunzel, and so on, of which we've spoken frequently, right? And it's this severing, this forgetting, this isolation of our species that has caused so much terribleness. Neptune is stationing now, all right? It appears to be standing still at this degree. It will station in retrograde shortly before the summer solstice. Its image is, its Sabian symbol is, rich and poor alike pour out onto rain-drenched streets in a joyous rebirth celebration. Alhamdulillah, all praise the divine. I so prefer the word divine to God, or even Allah, because it's ha, Allah, ha, right, ha, it's breath. It's like Hawaiian aloha, right? And in Hawaiian hauli, well, aloha means breath, spirit. And hauli, their term for clueless white people, hauli means absence of breath. So go, alhamdulillah, Allah, Allah. And a lot of the Sufi ritual is like, ha, oh, yeah. And so we're tracking everything back to liberate that. We go, oh, that's great. Okay, so that's how I'm That's how we journeyed from the intellect, right? Remembering the language of all things, and what would we like to give voice to? What language would we like to understand? It's square to Neptune. On a surface, we can feel overwhelmed, like, because this is what's called a mutable square, where we notice more per minute or per square inch than usual, perhaps. So it does require, you know, out and about conversation, you know, then so much information that's quite enough. Go into the reverie realm. Ideally, the reverie realm of our own creation. You know, some of us watch TV and movies and whatever, which is collective mind kind of coming on in. You know, we do want some discernments without being grumpy. We are disobedient, heretical tricksters after all. So, you know, we can make anything fly. As wonderful ally said, you can do anything you want, Caroline, except lie to yourself. Oh, phooey. Okay, it's a good guideline. So the square says, you know, out and about, and then it's again that model of, you know, even if we outsource our Neptune, because we are here to insource everything we've outsourced, our voice, our authority, our autonomy, our imagination, our stories, our myths. So even, you know, here's Chiron at the bottom of the chart, presiding over Pergamon. It's right there. There we go. So important to cultivate our own individual imagery, because it taps us into collective yearning in a very powerful way. And Neptune trine Jupiter, again, Jupiter retrograde, goes all the way back to 13 degrees of Scorpio, whose image is telephone lineman at work, installing links to other realities, the cosmic switchboard. Cool. Edward Snowden's moon, very witty. And then it will go forward mid-July. So this time period now, this new moon, all of this, we're releasing from the past, we're rummaging through the past, we're dedicating to being voices for what needs a voice, and we are retrieving all the different chapters of our own caravan of dreams, the one we're on as a collective trickster council, yay team, and also the caravan of dreams of our race, really, you know, to rejoin the whole choreography of creation, to whirl our way, to spiral our way, to yearn our way, to, you know, call to prayer, to night of power our way, you know, back into the embrace, into the whirling embrace of, you know, atoms and creatures and kinship and all of that. And as a little jumping aside, Mars is also stationing. It's going to get to 9 Aquarius and then station there on June 26th. And its stationing degree is, you know, a man who was thought of as a, you know, as a popular ideal is no longer that. And we go, no, come on, team. Yes, could, you know, let's bring that into play. But this Jupiter trine Neptune is infinitely workable with, again, rhyme and reverie. That's right. It's so dark, I can't see notes just as well. There we go. Things that I've said before, but want to repeat, Gemini doesn't mind repeating in the oral tradition. So what I've said before, I so love Lauren Isley. I so love Lauren Isley's quotes, posted them on Facebook pages for you all innumerable times. But I love this one. I find it very moving. I find it like the babies growing into young children, being able to remember. And Lauren Isley was a great example of what we're talking about, a great sort of Gemini Neptune, a scientist with a poet's soul dedicated to collective well-being. May we all aspire to put that into our brew in some wonderful form. So he says, we are rag dolls made out of many ages and skins, changelings who have slept in wood nests and hissed in the uncouth guise of waddling amphibians. We have played such roles for infinitely longer ages than we have been human. Our identity is a dream. We are process, not reality. It's always beautiful, but it's so now, you know, again, so beautifully, we are rag dolls made out of many ages and skins. As the pagan chant says, fur and feather and scale and skin, different without, but the same within, many a body, but one of soul, from all creatures is the divine made whole. You go, yes. That's the enormity of the circle into spiral evolution that we humans want to be agents of. There we go. That's in our dedication. This new moon is so powerfully good that way. You know, metaphoric agility. Somebody handed me a book on underworld journeys, and I go, well, that's kind of perfect here. Let me come back to everybody for a moment. It's very dark. It's very dark while the sun's setting. Ramadan new day is there. We'll be deconvening a moment. I'm going to throw it to you, allies, to and beautiful Amy, to honor questions, and everybody chime in. There we go. And, you know, it's as though I was there. That's good. And I'll even give a few answers that can be used at random from Sansanim. Somebody asks a question, you know, and one goes, the dragon has already gone downtown. There, that's the answer to five questions. And question, you already understand. That'll do too. The koan, no prison for the unexpected. Let's disrupt all these things. So, yes, the darkness has also further distracted me from somebody, and thank you, telepathic team across time and space. So somebody handed me a book on the underworld. Oh, it's a little too spooky to see myself flickering like that. I'm going to go back to the chart, which is stable. There we go. Chart is stable. There we go. A little chart here. I think I prefer myself in a smaller frame at the moment. There we go. And in the underworld book, you know, it talks about the riddling challenge. We meet the messenger, at the crossroads. And very often, you know, sometimes it's a useful person, and sometimes it's a con, the false knight. And the false knight meets a youth, sometimes a maiden, and the riddling and the metaphoric agility. And he says, "I cast you into the sea." And the young boy or young girl says, "And in the sea I have a boat." And the false knight goes, "Oh, yeah." And then the false knight says, "I hear a bell." And the maiden, the youth, says, "You know, and it summons you to the underworld." And so on, right? This is metaphoric agility, really important. Now an eagle, now a thing. What do we want to become? You know, this metaphoric and linguistic agility. That's part of our dynamic. And there's other exciting things here that, again, we're just going on no notes. There we go. We don't need notes. Who wants that? But to round us up for the moment. There we go. A couple of things. So we remember in our new moon cauldron, Wednesday-ish, we throw all these things into the cauldron. Is it equal Mars and Venus? Equal men and women? That's huge. But also the critters. Uranus in Taurus really presiding over so much in this huge beautifulness. We have Uranus in Taurus. I can find you. There you are, you beautiful. Uranus Taurus, the moon was conjunct Uranus Taurus yesterday. Really great. Uranus trining Saturn. Again, incarnational sensuality, our dedication to insourcing our leaders. Saturn's image is heavily veiled Hierophant. This will do. Seized by the divine. This will do. You know, leads a group ritual. Hey, what the hell? So may it be for all of us, but it's kind of fun. And this is about, you know, re-blooming the world into being. So the huge thing, again, equal. It's so important for our species to rejoin, you know, hello, brother dog, hello, brother frog, hello, sister tree, hello, all of this in our communicative regard. Because whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. We've said this before, but we're extending it now to plants, animals, rocks, much larger. We're breaking out of our narrow humanistic exile from the rest of things that's gotten us into this pickle and was maybe a necessary journey. Hello, brother insect. Necessary part of this journey until now. And now to address everything, to address everyone, you know, in this wonderful way. Yes, it's getting kind of busy around me, but that's fine. We are here. Okay, that's good. So, you know, into the cauldron, we throw these things, Saturn. Oh, right. Okay. Uranus in Taurus. Abe Lincoln, thank you for many beautiful things you said and your dedicated sacrificial life. He also said, I care not for any man's religion whose dog and cat are not the better for it. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. That's my assignment. I don't think that humans are more wonderful. We know that dung beetles navigate according to the Milky Way. Could we do that? We know that birds migrate often with constellations and electromagnetic pathways. May we not disrupt those as our root species does. Could we do that? We know that whales pass on songs and memories, as do elephants. We know crows pass on language and intimate science, really, and knowledge of the environment. So many things. I think it's a direction for humans to go in to be humbled. Humbled is good. So there's that. And there's the riddle me quality. There we go. Okay. Well, never mind. Clearly, we're going into the oral tradition where notes are irrelevant, and apparently so is my computer battery. So, to bring us back into the enormity, the beautiful danger that we're all in, that what's helping us is again metaphoric agility, becoming public dreamers, that. To spiral back to our beginning, to have a desirable image for ourselves and for the world, to imagine pulling it back into the occipital from where we spiral it on out into the memosphere, into the memosphere. Equally, we have many ways of doing these things. We call in, we invite in beauty, we cook it through our unique imaginative ingenuity, and we spiral it back out there into the world. Whoa, there we go. So thank you all for being super playfully gracious and flexible on my journey. I want to bring in just a few last things. Venus, beautiful in the west. Everybody can see her right after sunset. Really great. You know, just past the opposition to Pluto. So we've all been to the underworld, and Pluto wants to bubble away everything conditioned from which we've derived our identity, whatever that is. And so it's useful to cooperate, again, to throw into the cauldron, you know, and to ladle things out, and to engage in this new moon too, to throw into the cauldron humans' addiction to having an enemy, and to ladle out, well, and to throw into the cauldron, you know, cruelty and churlishness, and to ladle out reverence for life, and may all children be restored to the loving arms of their humans. You know, all of this now, we want to really absolutely invoke this, you know, and to toss in corruption, cruelty, churlishness, and ladle out the innocent dignity of our child heart, savvy, protected by authenticity. Powerful, powerful things, you know, brewing. We know also that Uranus has a little semi-square to Neptune. It's a kind of repetition, you know, of, you know, may Earth-based technology be again re-wedded to the imaginative. These are happy partnerships. We know many scientific discoveries were scientists dreaming the answer. May that also be an available part of our gathering in the Asclepion, to go to sleep not only with a conjuring and a spiraling of blessing out into the world, but also with a question. With a question. In Arabic, it's istikara, the invitation for the dream. That will supply an answer. And always with the prayer, let those things I don't need to know about be not known, and anything I need to know about, may it be known, make it known to me in a reverie or in a dream. Remember, the dream reverie capacity is also the primary way that humans engaged in this pragmatic mysticism wheel and deal. The Lakota elder saying, we didn't hunt alone. Those gifted would go into a reverie and broker a deal with the wolves and coyotes, and we would all hunt together for a season. And if you want to destroy a culture, shame people out of that, mock it, you know, make them forget it, make them forget that language of wheel and deal collaboration. Well, it's back now. And so it says not only what would we like to be a voice for in the small councils, conversing, what language would we like to know, and to put this into our collective cauldron, the language of bees, the language of plants, the language of the rocks, the language of this ancient place, putting it all in there. No, but again, to enter into the reverie, in a reverie, something to wonder about, maybe in small councils, and then to take us on out into our deepening practices, going, what treaty would each one of us like to go into a reverie to negotiate between us and what? Between us and the wolves and coyotes, between us and water, between us and whatever comes up into our uniqueness. The value of a council is that each person here is a unique experiment with all these different qualities in a unique array. So we need everybody. You know, and part of our invitation to the world is we need everyone. So team, it is dark. It is dark. It is sunset. It is the final days of Ramadan. It is the dark of the moon. The night of power is behind us. We heard the call to prayer. May everything be lifted. May we understand that animals also have call to prayer, that may we rejoin the choreography of creation. Absolutely. Thank you, team, for your flexible forbearance. And we are always moving our emotional default setting to woof, woof. Want to play. Alhamdulillah. I'll praise the divine. You know, in trickster we trust. You know, inshallah and in trickster we trust. And may the divine be understood as being everywhere, everywhere in the rock and the whatever. And that again, when we speak to the divine, the soulfulness, the anima mundi, the soul of the world that is everywhere in the sky and the stars and the plants and the animals everywhere in the anima mundi, may our narrow human secularization imprisoning, you know, be unlocked and dissolved. Jupiter and Neptune says, solve a coagula, dissolve and reimagine. Then the last little bit, I think I have just enough battery here. The last little bit is in esoteric Islam, reading something from the Quran, which Moses goes to the place where two oceans converge. Yeah, that's where Istanbul is. Guides are often there at this place of confluence. And he encounters Qadir, the green man, in the Quran. Fabulous. And Qadir says, what is your gig, Moses? Oh, you're into Sharia and commandments and laws. That's very limited. It's what James Karras in the future would call a finite game. Here, let me guide you into mystical Islam where you don't need the rules. You know, now we're back to the trickster thing. No rules, but guidelines. There we go. And that's why the followers or the colleagues or whatever we're language playing of Qadir, you know, do not have these Sharia things. And may this be a wafting out into the world again. May the Moses part of all of us be liberated by the green man Qadir part of all of us. And now, beautiful Amy, we'll take questions and answer them. and you can all ask questions with each other, you know, that'll be fun. And then Amy, beautiful Amy, will send everybody scampering off into the small councils and will remind us that we're skipping next week. And then we will reconnect, but I will have a special summer solstice thing. There we go. And there we have it. There we have it for now, team. I'm pretty sure that's it. Okay. Mwah.